CliffCentral.com.
That is a rock guitarist, man. Eddie Van Halen died yesterday. Very, very sad for any true rock fan. All right, we are live. This is CliffCentral.com, and we're with you this morning, live from Gord's house, from Zia's house, and from mine. You can watch us live if you want to try. We're doing something new this morning just for, you know, for fun. Come and check it out. CliffCentral.com is where you can find the link. If you're listening to us on the app or on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you find your podcasts, or you happen to be listening to us live from our website this morning. And, of course, you can get the podcast later on in the day at your convenience while you're doing other things. I've started listening to podcasts while I'm doing some exercise in the mornings. Makes it a little bit easier because I get so bored. I get so bored doing exercise. It's, you know, you do repetitive shit, and it's really not very exciting. So if you can listen to something cool, it makes all the difference.
Exercising and podcasts, or exercising and metal, depending on the intensity of the exercise.
Ah, now metal, I can't listen to that while I'm busy exercising. I can't do it, dude. Training and metal do not
like the long, slow, cardio, 40 minutes, 60 minutes on a bike.
Yeah.
You need audiobooks or podcasts. But if you like smashing weights and making loud grunting noises and calling everyone butt and leaving them on the floor, then you need metal or techno. Depending on which side of four ways you come from.
Yeah. Well, I just tried out this lotto, and it looks pretty good. I've put down a few hundred rand, and let's see what happens. I mean, if I do win, I'm never going to tell you. That's for sure.
Do you reckon nobody? Who would you tell? Because if you don't want anyone to find out, but I mean anyone, would it be your family or nobody?
Yeah, I'd probably tell my family, but no one else. Nobody else would ever know. I just carry on doing exactly what I always have done. Sia, we can't hear you.
I can tell you that Blackie Chan would never work another day in her life.
Sia was busy talking.
I said you really wouldn't tell anyone else?
No one. You would never know. I would never tell a soul.
What's your biggest splurge that you would spend your money on? Not even a...
You see, this is where idiots like Edwin Sodi, and of course he didn't win the lotto. He was basically profiting from tenders. Which is government money. So it's not his money. He was stealing money. And this is obviously an allegation at this point, but it's fairly obvious that the guy was collecting a fleet of cars in order to... No. We know he had cars. He spent like 11 or 12 million rand on a few cars.
I think they counted and they said if he actually did what he was supposed to do with his tenders, that would have built 16,000 roofs.
Yeah, so he was meant to take asbestos out of people's roofs because asbestos is a very, very dangerous substance that leads to people developing all kinds of lung conditions, asbestosis.
I've always thought it should be called asbestos.
Yeah, it is. It's a horrible, horrible substance, and they used to use it as insulation in people's roofs.
One advantage of this new system is that people can see how Sia quietly gets my jokes and laughs at them when they go completely under the radar. Yeah, I love him. He's always...
Or where I try to march right past them because we're trying to get... Right.
Yes.
Me and Sia just laughing at each other like naughty kids in the back of the class trying not to say anything because it's funny.
The problem, if you did win the lotto, if you win like billions and you
It would
start,
be no problem. No, problems would be gone.
No. I agree with you, but you don't show everybody, because people pitch up, man, and bad people come into your life. I reckon there are a lot of very, very dodgy people who will suddenly be making contact as soon as they know that you're a billionaire. So
yeah, I wouldn't want to publicly announce.
So mature and rational, but even if I won 10 million South African rands, I'd lose my head. I'm gone.
I'd have Magic Johnson's doctor. I'd have stem cell stuff in countries where it's allowed. I'd have a bionic leg. The moment Neuralink 3 comes out, I'd get that. I want to be one of those people that, like, evolves a step forward and merges with the AI and becomes one with the robot overlords and enslaves the meat people. I want to be one of them.
Yeah. I don't know.
About right.
I think I would just carry on. I'd live my life more or less the way that it is, but with no debt. I wouldn't worry about profit and loss anymore. because those things are concerns, you know. And I would do my best to be healthy, and I would obviously I'd have a fun time, but I wouldn't be splurging publicly. I wouldn't be.
Have any of the good listeners given any outlandish suggestions?
I wouldn't be spending money at the strip club. Or
what would be the most ostentatious thing you can do? Like buy like a really expensive car and then have it wrapped in Yves Saint Laurent step repeat pattern.
No, I think that's revolting. I mean, it would be garish as hell, but I think some people have already tried that. All right, there are apparently guys in the UAE and in you know the Middle East who've plated entire cars in gold and silver.
Ooh, that's got to be quite reflecty when that oak's in front of you and you forgot your sunglasses at 2 p.m. in
very,
Saudi.
Very reflecty. So, I mean, that's probably the kind of thing Sia would do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Completely.
Also, I have a like outlandish
for no reason. It's a Wednesday. Let's theme it out. Let's make a Diamond Wednesday.
As long as you got your Wednesday hat. The only law.
Everyone rocks up to dinner and they just find diamond jewelry waiting for them. Because, well, you can.
You know how many people are going to start rocking up for dinner that didn't used to come to your book club?
And do you know how many good-looking single men also will rock up to my dinners? See?
I think good-looking single men would rock up to your dinners anyway.
I'd be the gay Hugh Hefner.
As long as you're on the menu.
If you have that kind of money...
You have a harem of hot dudes.
You know, like, let's be serious for a second. If you have billions of rands, you can buy just about anything, including love. Someone will love you for 5 billion rand. I mean, we've got blesses. And blessees in this country who pretend to love each other.
People will love Sia just because Sia. They'll do depraved acts of debauchery because of the money, but they'll love Sia for Sia.
They will. That's a very good point.
The gay boy mansion.
Yes.
You could buy
Sia always in a robe. Sia's 2 speeds, depending on how warm it is, robe or nothing. And if it's very cold in winter, 2 robes. But we've got fireplaces for that sort of thing.
And people to present him with slippers and other such things to keep him warm at any given time.
Or with embroidered initials.
You could buy that Edwin Sodi's. You could buy that Sodi's house. It's apparently a beautiful house. It overlooks all of Bryanston, and it's got this pool deck, and it looks like quite a place.
Oh, it's a very nice deck.
Very nice big deck you've got there. Yeah, big
lovely deck. Big firm dick.
Here's the point I'm trying to make with this. It's I can't imagine what you do with yourself once you get to a point where you have everything you need and you want. That is why people lose the plot. That's why, I mean, really, what do you do?
This is a really important distinction. If we're going to be at all philosophical this morning, because we could just talk shit, but if there's going to be any depth, like need and want are very different things. And the one is absolutely fine with very few negative side effects. The other one can be 100% pathological. Need is a very dangerous, slippery slope. When you
want is to have my needs covered, like whether that's, you know, self-made or you win a lottery or whatever, like the freedom to not worry about where money's coming from next month or for the next 12 months and go do whatever you want. That's like cool for me. The difference would be the level of luxury I travel in, and it would be a small, like it's a nice to have. Obviously you don't want to like travel in utter like shittiness, but I would travel and my upgrades would depend on how big this lottery win from the US Powerball is.
I'd keep it so quiet, man. You wouldn't even know. By the way, Gordon,
have we got any good suggestions from the listeners as to what they would do? Any zingers?
Just before that, I want to just mention I've started watching The Boys, which you told me to start watching. It's that superhero TV series. It's really good. And these people are such assholes, huh?
Homelander is the biggest deuce.
Yeah.
In history.
Yeah. I hate him. I hate him already after
that's on Prime Video. Mm. I keep preaching the gospel. I'm not a shill for them. I don't know anyone there. They don't pay me anything. But on all of your smart devices where you get your Netflix and your TV, YouTube and all of that, there's a little thing. It's a blue block with it looks like a smiley face and it says Prime Video. You can try it out for free for 7 days. It's 90 rand a month. It's the other half of everything that's not on Netflix. Half of everything's on Netflix. The other half's on Prime Video. great shows on there. Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton, Sneaky Pete with Giovanni Ribisi, and as GC just mentioned, The Boys, which rules. Yes, it's violent.
Very good. I will set up an underground crime-fighting network and fuck up all the crooks, judge, jury, and executioner. I can think of a few customers already. That's what Carl was
doing. Is there a lot of crime underground? Jeez.
If Carl had won the lotto, he would do that. And here's an interesting one. This is very short-term, but Candace would throw her laptop through the glass front door of her office if she won the lotto.
I think there would be, if a lot of people wanted it at once, there'd be like an outbreak of bosses desk pooing across South Africa.
Yeah, that would be funny. That's hilarious. You know, it's funny also, like, I'm not a big gambler. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I went to a casino.
No, it's not my thing either, but it can be fun for sure.
Sure.
I've only been twice. And the first was part of my birthday celebrations. And I was actually quite disappointed when I turned 18 because I wanted to do all of the things I was never able to do. And I went in. It was such a pitiful sight.
Yeah. It's usually filled with pensioners. Pensioners sitting at slot machines is not anyone's idea of a fun night out.
You went
exactly,
to Emperor's.
Even though I was in the middle of Durban, in my mind, I wanted a whole Las Vegas experience. So I went with some of my friends, and it was just these old people puffing cigarettes. And some people
you
would just count their coins, and you can tell it was just desperation. Like, this is the last bit of change they have. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it depends which casino you go to. And if you go at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, you're going to see the pensioners smoking and putting 20 cents in. I mean, I'm not laughing because it's actually genuinely sad. But at the same time, if you go with some mates, you put a limit on what you're going to spend. You get a bit of a night out and you play until you make your money back or you're up. Whatever people, you put in some rules. Like, I'm not going to go down more than this. And if I go up this high, I'll stop and see how long you can make it last. Then it's harmless, good fun. And definitely like the quality of casino you go to, like they're all garish and like super tasteless, but you do want a nice one because a shitty one is super depressing.
Yeah.
But also I've gambled like maybe 4 times in my life. Like, let's go gambling.
Yeah. You see, I'm not in a position to be able to comment on this with any real expertise because I'm not a gambler. So I've got much more, I suppose I've got things that I know a lot better that I could talk about with some sincerity. It's just not a big deal for me. All right. So
I know it falls under the same category and legally and you also have to take the same precautions, but like, as long as you're not spending money, you don't have, I see lotto as like, I play lotto, but I don't gamble. It's like the entry level of gambling. But going to casinos is a different thing.
I don't want this morning's show to be completely disconnected from what's happening in the world. So the big news, obviously, in South Africa is that Ace Magashule was issued with a warrant of arrest yesterday. He claims he knows nothing about it, but then he's about as trustworthy as a hungry cat who has access to the table full of tasty, meaty treats and pretends to sit there minding its own business. Ace Magashule, we will see what happens to him. But if it's true, and I always have to put that caveat in because, first of all, our news media are just as untrustworthy, but also the ANC do a lot of theater, and then they never follow through. So unless this guy is actually arrested and we find out what the specific charges are, and there mustn't be something like oversight, which I believe is a part of the arrest warrant, if it's just something like oversight and neglect of duty as a, you know, fiduciary responsibility within the ANC, then that's not sufficient. He's got to be charged, first of all, with stealing that Pirniev painting when he was Premier of the Free State, but he's also got to be charged with all the other corruptions, including the corruption activities, including the stuff that he did while Premier of the Free State. And there's lots of that. So I don't know if everybody seems to have knowledge of all the different corrupt things that Ace has been involved in, then surely it's time to act. And if the NPA and the Hawks are starting to act, whoop-tee-doo, it's about time.
Yeah.
Also, there was a protest at the Senekal court yesterday by a bunch of really pissed-off farmers, and who can blame them? This is in the wake of a 22-year-old guy who was a farm manager who was tied to a pole and abused and killed. And they've just decided, these farmers, they've had enough. Now, who can blame them? So there are a lot of pissed off people in the world this morning, but Eddie Van Halen died. That's also upset a bunch of people. Donald Trump seems to be absolutely 100% over the COVID, and he claims, he goes, I don't know, I could be immune. And then the other big thing, he says, I could be immune. He's claiming to have superpowers. And Sila says this morning, is anyone else excited for Borat 2, which is coming soon? Yes. Absolutely.
No, I've always just found cringe humor cringy. Like,
come on,
I'm not trying to be a party pooper. Some of the Borat things were funny, and obviously those expressions were iconic at the time. But most of Sacha Baron Cohen's things of just like making people mega uncomfortable on camera. It's like I've never enjoyed Jackass either. Like people just kicking their own asses for laughs. But yes, oh, really? It is exciting for fans of Sacha Baron Cohen.
I loved Borat. I actually bought a Borat book because he brought out a book as well. I used to watch those clips. Because the internet was quite novel then, and there were a lot of things they left out of the movie that they actually included online, which were terrific. And I still laugh when he goes into those these sophisticated places, and he says things to people who expect him to be of a certain level of sophistication. And he talks about attaching a plow to his wife, and she plows the fields, and sister is the second.
What is second his name?
Azamat.
Ah.
and he had the second most popular prostitute in Kazakhstan is his sister or something, right?
I watched the interview with Sacha Baron Cohen where he talked about how the Kazakhstan government got really upset because of how they were rightfully being totally misrepresented. So to come and make a point, they organized a huge press conference in London to announce that they were upset about their portrayal in Borat, and that it's outrageous. So Sacha Baron Cohen did a press function on the same day and said that Borat of Kazakhstan was making a political announcement.
Yeah.
And more people went to his
than to the Kazakhstani
press conference than the real one.
Jesus, that's funny.
They just trolls a whole country ongoing.
I think what happened a few 2 months ago might tie into the new Borat, where it was discovered that Sacha Baron Cohen was dressed up as some, I'll use this word because it's the best way to describe, like a hillbilly musician. Yes. And he sang at a pro-Trump rally.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I remember that.
So at first, people were like, wait, okay, this might be a good song. And then the lyrics were just a little weird about, like, crooked Hillary. And, it was just bizarre.
Didn't he also sing the Kazakhstani national anthem at, like, a bullfight?
That's the most redneck thing you can do. Country. I love you, Kazakhstan. Now, come on. You guys have got to be excited about this. Please.
It's just too many dickheads still think the green bikini, the green mankini is funny, and that's what's ruined it for me.
People still say,
I love lamp. Like when a good movie comes out and it's got iconic catchphrases in it, you're like, I love this, but I know, like the shit music young people like Sia listen to now, it will come back to haunt them on VH1 forever. Like, douches will be quoting Wayne's World until, okay, Wayne's World's a bad example because everyone should quote Wayne's World, but irks that are still quoting Borat and think that it's funny. Good. Stop.
God, stop telling people what to do.
What I say. It's decreed.
We're not in Gordland now.
Not yet.
Yes.
But I'm about to play that lotto goodness, and then you'll see.
We don't have to wear hats for you just
yet.
Yeah,
when you bow down for the hat, we'll be talking a different story.
So Julius from the EFF asked Police Minister Becky Taylor yesterday why they didn't clean up the protest in Senegal. He says, imagine if it was black people storming the court. He just does not have his own thoughts. Always has to jump on anything where he could play the race card, completely missing the point. I think that's such a good point by Sean. But, this is going to happen. We know what's going to happen. We know the media are also going to say, oh, these are right-wing extremists or whatever. They're just a bunch of farmers who are sick of being murdered. That's what it is, and you could say whatever you like about that, and I don't care if you misrepresent me in the media too, because that's how people feel, and who can blame them? I mean, it is not as if this is not an ongoing violent problem in this country. I don't want to go down the road of getting too serious this morning, but this really pisses me off. Morning team, Gord, don't you like smoking bong? I do bong because it hits hard, and you use less cannabis compared to a joint. That's from.
No, I think it's like making a really nice sandwich, right? You make a good sandwich, you put care into it, and then you take a catty and you put it over your face backwards and you pull the sandwich in the catty elastic and fire it down into your stomach. That's the equivalent of smoking a bong.
Okay. I've never even tried a bong.
You haven't tried a bong?
Never.
It's basically mainlining a joint.
I've never smoked weed, and I've never had a bong.
You smoked on a show once.
No.
You
guys... I took edibles.
Oh, right. That's much more hectic. That's way worse. Yeah, I mean, that's scary.
Can we just never talk about that day ever again?
Oh, I hated that.
Did you guys freak out?
My life will be richer from that.
See, I had the worst day. I could not wait for it to stop.
Edibles. It's a schoolboy error. Smoke a little joint.
I feel ill.
You'll have a nice time and then you'll be hungry.
Oh, my God. What a mess. Anyway. So, all right. Here's a suggestion of somebody's if they won the lotto. Dano, he says, I would take a map of the world and a dart, and I would just throw the dart at the map, and wherever it lands, I would go. A few friends would join
in. Unless it lands on Syria.
Well, listen, most of the map of the Earth is open sea, so you're already counting out like 60 to 70% of where it lands. So your aim has to be pretty freaking good. Then,
but we take the point of you're going to randomly select places and then go there. There's dudes who have a YouTube channel who do that.
Listen, we were talking about the lotto, so I'm going to give you your chances here. So most of the Earth is covered in water, so that's not going to help you at all. Then
you have to go arrive at a specific GPS coordinate in the Pacific. Water, It wasn't worth it, Axe. I wish I never won.
Trust me, Dano, this is a shit idea. The second thing is that if you do choose land, most of the Earth is either too cold or too hot for habitation. So you can end up in, you know, the Kazakh desert. We spoke about Kazakhstan, but that's right in the middle of Asia and it's shit. And if not that, you could end up in Antarctica, which is hardly a holiday. You know what I mean? Yeah. Better you choose, Dana. Yeah. Better you choose.
But I take the point. You'd randomly select from safe, habitable places and then just see where it takes you. Cool idea. The selection method's off though. Also, a dart will fuck your globe up.
Robin says, by the way, guys, worse than Borat, Austin Powers. Bad, bad quotes.
Baby, shut up, dude. You're 50.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Great movie, but not good for quoting.
So Josh says, can we talk about the elephant scene in Grimsby, shot in Cape Town, the most horrific scene in cinema?
Oh, dude.
What was that?
I actually saw that and I don't even want to talk about it. It was just gross and actually kind of racist and pretty myth.
Okay.
No, I missed that.
I don't know what you're talking about because I've never
It's seen a movie that. Where an American spy, his unsuccessful younger brother played by Sacha Baron Cohen Grimsby, who's a football hooligan, kind of has to save his super spy brother and they end up in South Africa and it's gross. It's not like funny. It's horrible.
All right. Very good. Israel says that Borat was the best, crass as hell, making high-class people look stupid. So that's what Israel's
weird.
After.
It's so strange that a government would respond to our show, but thanks, guys.
Leighton says, don't ever put a limit on going down anywhere, Gord. Enjoy seeing you guys. This is cool. All right, very nice. So, if you haven't
done this, put a limit on going down.
If you haven't done this before, we're new to this too. We're trying our show this morning, not only streaming live as we always do every morning and then putting out the podcast, but also you can watch us live on the show this morning. You can see Gord and Sia laughing at each other while everyone else stays the hell out of their joke. So Phil Kutz is with us. You remember we've spoken to Phil a couple of times. He's the owner and dealer principal at DeWitt Motors in Ermelo, and you can find out everything you need to know by following the links on cliffcentral.com. I've been driving one of Phil's cars for a little while now, and this is something we thought we would share with you. Actually, Phil, before we even get into anything you want to talk about, I drove...
Morning.
How are you doing, man?
Morning, Greg. Yeah, okay.
So I drove your C-Class Merc down to Durban and back. Let me tell you something. This thing, it's a diesel. The fuel economy is unbelievable. Sia and Gord, listen to this. I filled up on the Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I drove down. I could have probably got back to Joburg on the same tank that I filled up with in Joburg. It's absolutely really? Incredible. Yes. I mean, first of all, it's a hybrid, right?
No, not even.
Why does it say charge? Like it sometimes charges the battery and stuff. And
Yes. Yes. Well, the charge is basically working while it's when you're neutral,
yeah,
or you're not putting on gas, the engine is running the rest of the battery of that charging component is running rest of the electronics and some of the things that will use fuel, like your aircon and so forth.
But yeah. Phil, when I filled it up, I almost get like a 1,000 kilometers on the clock there. It's a phenomenal economy of fuel. This is the best I've ever seen in a car. And listen, I mean, I said to you when you dropped it off, you know, it's a bit of a kind of dad Merc. You know what I mean? It's the kind of car that I'd never driven before because I always thought, and one of my friends ironically has one, and he loves it. But I always thought it was a bit of a dad car. But Jesus, just based on fuel economy, I'd be interested in buying that car.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, I think as I've told you when I dropped it off, I mean, I think it's due for an upgrade and with the new technology and so forth. And speaking of which, I think we've got the new C-Class coming now in. I think June 2021, mm-hmm. if everything goes well. But yeah, I mean, they're not going to get rid of the engine. They're going to keep the same engine in the new shape as well.
Phenomenal.
Just with all the new tech as well, because it's been a real successful. That's one of my favorite engines. I mean, exactly on the reason you mentioned that on fuel consumption. It's running on fumes. So
yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah. And the other thing that's phenomenal while I'm complimenting this car, because I'm by no means a motoring journalist or reviewer, but having been stuck in traffic on the Sunday, because we came back on the Sunday, and obviously, you know, there was a huge amount of traffic. The toll roads were backed up for kilometers because it was a public holiday weekend and the first one since lockdown. So everyone wanted to get away. And my timing was, I think if I'd left on Sunday at any time, I would have been stuck in traffic. But
I get the Mufasa feeling when you talk about traffic, like PTSD from past trauma.
That's right. And Gord, what was supposed to be a 5.5-6 hour drive ended up being 8.5 hours. And if I wasn't in that car, if I were driving that hunk of iron and hatred that I had before, you know, my car that I couldn't wait to get rid of.
A chunk of iron and hatred. Tell us how you really feel, Gareth.
If I had been driving that thing for 8.5 hours, I would have been murdering people in the traffic. I would have gone postal. So it was nice to be in a car that has climate control and comfortable seats and, you know, I could listen to some music, and I was actually remarkably calm throughout. And the other cool thing about it is that it obviously connects to your phone. So when you're using things like Waze and trying to find alternative routes, which I was trying to do to skip much of the traffic, it was really, really convenient. So it just made the whole experience great. So thanks for that, Phil. I didn't expect to have that experience, and it was good that I did.
Right. Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so used to driving short distances, you know, especially now since lockdown.
Tell us again which one it was, GC, because I don't know my cars that well apart.
You tell them, Phil. You know your detail.
I know. I mean, it's a big one, right?
Yeah, the one I'm driving right now. It's the C.
You're driving the new C220.
C220.
C220, which is your diesel. I think we threw in a bunch of extras there as well. If I can remember correctly, I think as you mentioned, now you got your Apple CarPlay, and mm-hmm. I suppose it's got either the Avantgarde or AMG package? I can't really recall. I mean, it was a while ago.
It's not the AMG one, but it's really nice. I mean, it's beautiful inside. Oh. It's beautiful on the outside. Goes like a charm. It's just great. And honestly, the best things about this car are the fuel economy and the comfort of driving, especially on long trips. So I'm actually going away next week. And I'm going to head to the Kruger Park, which I haven't done in years. That's close to you guys. You're in Mpumalanga, right? You go there often.
Yeah, we go there often. I think we're about 2 hours or so from the park. So we live in the bus from Gauteng. Who are you going with?
It's family. So I'm actually going with my brother and sister-in-law booked this trip probably last year. And I said, yeah, cool, yeah. I'm in. And, you know, they've got the two little kids and my parents are going, so it'll be a real family trip. And because of the lockdown, all of those trips were put on hold. It was meant to happen in August, I think. And then they suddenly came back to my brother and said, yeah, you can go, but you got to go next week. So we're going on Tuesday next week. So it'll be cool. I'm looking forward to it.
You going to do the show from the Kruger then?
No, there's no signal at the place we're going to, so I'm probably going to miss Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but we'll figure it out.
Gareth's going to type his portions of the show out, and I'll read them out.
That's exactly how did you know?
Like people auditioning for a movie. I'll read Gareth's lines on my own. So I'll be like, oh, something political's got me really, really upset. Shut up, Gareth. No, I guess. Gordon, you're disrupting the show.
All right, so Phil, let's talk about some other stuff because it's been a while since we spoke. I actually thought that you'd disappeared and lost interest in us, but it's because you've been waiting to give us some special news. So you and your team are standing by to talk about two of the latest and sexiest Mercedes-Benz models around. There's the new GLE Coupe and the new S-Class. Just tell us a little bit about. Let's start off with a GLE.
Sure. Okay. So the GLE has been around for I will say around about a year now. We are lucky to have be announced the winners for part of the year. I mean, I think we haven't won that accolade in ages.
Wow.
So GLE has been awarded the car of the year for South Africa.
Fantastic.
And the GLE Coupe is obviously just a cousin of the GLE. I mean, most people will say it's a similar look as the BMW X6, which is the easiest way to explain it for people that don't know the GLE Coupe. So yes,
I just Googled it and it's a lot prettier than an X6, but that's just my opinion. But it's kind of the same size and shape.
Correct. Yes. Sure. So yes. Same chassis as the GLE, same interior. I mean, if you're inside the GLE or the GLE Coupe, I don't think you would know which car you're in because, I mean, the tech and the telematics and comfort is all the same. Yes.
Gord, what are you going crazy about? You're looking at a picture of it?
No, I just Googled it and there's some super nice ones. Although there's one dude that's like done it in a matte tile looking wrap that's a little weird, but it's a super beautiful car. I haven't seen it before. It's got this massive front grille. It is similar in size and shape to an X6, as you just said, but it's a lot prettier. It's got all those sporty Merc looking bits. So I'd never seen it before, so I was just Googling it. The back of it is especially nice, I think.
Very good. I'm looking at pictures too. This is a very nice car. All right, so Phil, tell me a little bit more about this thing. What makes it different, and what have they done to revamp and re-engineer and relaunch this?
Yes, well, I mean, so it's just been launched now, so it's everything is brand new. It's a brand new shape. It's got new lights, the new multi-beam LED lights, which makes the easiest way to explain it. It makes night day. You know, it's very, very wonderful lights. I mean, the telematics as well. All the functions that you've mentioned in the previous show, the Hey Mercedes, all the telematics, MBU, X Mercedes, Me, all of those are pretty standard in the vehicle as well. So even if you get the basic car, it's pretty well spec'd.
Okay, but I asked you about the hybrid cars, and this one may have a plug-in hybrid version, right?
Yes. I think the South African market is not 100% there yet for hybrid and electric vehicles. I mean, I was very excited, but it seems like this whole COVID thing got everything just postponed. So I think from our brand side, I mean, we will be launching a proper EQ, which is our branded name for electronic vehicles and hybrid cars.
Right.
Closer to 2022. So I will say more or less this time next year.
Mm-hmm.
So which would basically include everything. It will have a hybrid GLE, hybrid or full electric GLC, which is called the EQC. We'll have a hybrid A class. And speaking of fuel consumption, that will top the C220. I mean, over
really?
And over and over.
Really?
The one that you drive. consultant, even better, yeah, way better, yeah.
I mean, it's getting to a point where actually...
And this is not a small car, let's just reiterate.
What, the GLE?
No, yeah, but in terms of having that amazing fuel consumption, it's not a
little runaround. Yeah, but I think Phil's talking about the A-Class when he says that the hybrid version. Now,
okay, I thought you were talking about your one with the great fuel consumption, which is not a small car.
So
So with that Garrett's model as well.
Phil, what about how many kilometers do you reckon you could get on a full tank in that A-Class hybrid that you're talking about? Just give me a gamble.
I don't know the specs on the A-Class, but I can talk a little bit about the EQC that's been launched overseas. As far as I know, your range is approximately around about 400 kilometers.
Sure.
But the amazing thing, and that's according to what I've read, I've never charged it myself at home, but you get a fast charging cell phone charger and the generic one that you buy.
Yeah.
Through a different convenience store. So there's a big difference on the charging time on those cables.
Yeah.
So if you do the charge your vehicle on the fast charging system, I think you've got a, it can charge the vehicle up to 80% in only 35 minutes. So, I mean, then you can go, let's say, another 250 kilometers again. So I think that the tech's there, and it's way more convenient than people think. I mean, charging the vehicle for 6 or 7 hours. So, I mean, you can't get to Durban from your house, you know, because you only got that range of 400 kilometers. I think it will be way easier than that.
Sounds amazing. All right, so let's get to the big mama, because I know that this is what Sia's interested in. And if he did win the lotto, which we were talking about earlier, all Sia would do is sit in the back of an S-Class and have someone drive him around with white gloves on. He's this kind of guy. So the S-Class really is the top-of-the-range supercar. This is the one that you know, you have a chauffeur in these, and if you do drive it yourself, it's the best drive you'll ever have. It's Mercedes, Mercedes, cool. Mercedes. Am I wrong?
No, that's a big, beautiful car.
It's always difficult to make the call if you want to be driven in the car or if you'd like to drive the car. I mean, it's because both of them are fantastic. So,
all right, so tell us about this. What have they done?
So, again, I mean, it's not a facelift. It's a brand-new model. So, again, as I think I've mentioned in the previous shows, you get a new shape, then it's 4 years, then there will be a facelift, which will be minor differences. Mm-hmm. And then 3 years, another 3 years again, then there will be a complete new shape. And this is the time now for S-Class, the same as for the GLE Coupe and GLE. So it's a new shape. I haven't sat in one. I haven't seen one before, but as far as the videos that I've sent CEO last night and yourself, it looks like it's going to be amazing. So, yes, again, telematics and hand gestures have been brought into the vehicle as well. Wow. And a lot of tech, yes.
No, it's beautiful inside. It's like there's one solid – it's like the biggest iPad you've ever seen between the steering wheel and the passenger seat. And
that's right.
It's very sexy. This is right up your street, man.
Oh, yeah. Without a freaking doubt.
Yeah. All right, well, this is terrific, but obviously this is out of most of our range. So how many S-Classes do we have in South Africa, and who buys them?
It's a difficult question. I mean it's interesting. I mean, we get some youngsters that buy them, but just because it's a sign of that I've arrived, you know. Yeah. But I will say predominantly for people, I will say 50 plus, more around there would be your target market.
But for a big car like that, these things also have incredible engines in them, right? I mean, they can really go.
Yes. Usually, the favorite one is probably the V8, which will be the, I believe, the S580, which is not a 5.8 engine. It will probably be a smaller engine, like a 4 liter or so, to give you better fuel consumption, as well, better power. So. It will be a smaller engine than the one that's been in the previous model, but with more kilowatts and more newtons and better fuel consumption. So looking forward, yeah.
All right. So listen, Phil, there's plenty to talk about, but we'll we'll chat to you sooner rather than later, because people were asking, like, why the hell you just disappeared. They thought I was suddenly having to walk to work and things like that, and that we'd had a fight, but it was because you had these announcements to make. So, all right, we've got lots to think about this morning. Go and check out the pictures of this, and we'll post links on cliffcentral.com too, so that you can go and have a look at what Phil's talking about. And if you need to get hold of them, DeWitt Motors, they're established since 1950. It's your father, who started it? Father-in-law.
It's like my grandparents, yeah.
Grandfather
and mother.
That's right. Damn right.
That's correct.
1950, man. How many cars were there in the country in 1950? Only about three or four. So that shows you how old this dealership is. It's awesome. All right, so if you want to find out more about them, you can also go along and check out their website. We'll put all the links for all of that and more there. More than 60 years of successful operation in Ermelo, DeWitt Motors' path has been entwined with the history and the structures that enhance its position, not only in Ermelo, but in the whole country, because people go to Ermelo to buy cars from these guys. Consistent, upward, excellent service, and they are an award-winning dealer. They have won 15 Dealer of the Year awards, numerous excellence awards, and continue to strive for exceptional service in everything that they do. They're also a Level 4 BBBEE contributor. And thanks, Phil, for talking to us this morning. You can email info@dewits.co.za for more info. And if you want to buy a car, these are the guys to talk to, really. I can speak from experience. Cool. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ross. Thanks, Gareth.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, nice to.
Yeah, good to see you. Thanks so much. There's Phil Kutzer from DeWitt Motors. Just go along and check out all their details on cliffcentral.com. All right, Gordo.
Yeah, man.
I have a few messages for you from some other people. I once ate some space muffins, says Sila, on a Sunday, and trust I heard the preaching without sleeping.
I've never been a fan of cannabis edibles, and some people really enjoy them. Not for me. Freak me right out. Little mouthful of fear right there.
Bernard says the new Mercedes S-Class you guys were just talking about is a quantum leap in automotive engineering and refinement. What a car. It could probably drive itself. Sure. That's a compliment.
Well, if it can quantum leap, it can probably do anything.
It can do anything. Where do you watch the show live, says somebody on the WhatsApp line. That's Wendy. Well, Wendy, you can go along to the website, and we put the link up right there. So you can join in. Very, very cool. Move out of
you're
this.
You're not missing anything, Wendy, just saying.
Yeah.
I win a cord. You are not a team player.
Listen, God, some people we sound handsome. Let that be enough.
Mm. People like to see what we're up to. If I won the lotto, says Brendan, I would set up a world-class indoor grow-up and grow my own best cannabis. But you can do that
just
now.
Just buy someone else's best cannabis. But, yeah, I mean, some people really enjoy cultivating their own.
But can't you?
That would be a lot of fun, building it from scratch for the purpose of just growing cron.
Yeah, but unless you're thinking of growing a huge amount of this stuff, in which case you would only be doing it for commercial reasons, and if you've won the lotto, why bother? Just grow your own anyway. Just do, like, small quantities. Yeah. Can't you do that?
Yeah, and it's become super easy with, like, prepackaged grow tents. You used to have to, like, hollow out a cupboard or find, like, a basement or some space in your house that didn't have light coming into it and kind of set it up with all the different things as best you could. Now it's literally like a camping tent. It's got the light in it, the extraction. You pay, I think you could start close to 10,000, and you can maybe go triple or five times that if you really want to get serious. But to grow like four or six indoor plants,
yeah,
these things are like plug and play. And then in South Africa, especially in summer, we've got some of the best weather in the world for growing plants. I mean, I just have like six neighbors looking into my garden and a gardening service of the complex that have keys. So I know better than to grow out there. But I've grown plenty when I was younger, and you just need outside. Some decent soil,
yeah,
some nitrogen-based fertilizer when it's growing leaves, and some phosphate-based fertilizer when it's budding, and you're off to the races.
Sounds awesome. Okay, I'm never going to be one of those guys, but
yeah, too much effort.
I can't keep. I can't.
You need to grow one in the garden for your rabbits, Gareth.
Dude, there are no rabbits. They've all been taken. Liam Neeson.
They've all froze to death. But now that it's spring, don't, or summer, don't they get new ones?
From where? What do you think they generate out of the ground?
The place they got the first ones from. They didn't just spring out of the earth like yogurt.
Well, there are no more rabbits, Gord, so I'm afraid I have only bad
news. Getting you a rabbit. When I come to your TV show and I've got to go all the way out there in person, I'm arriving with two rabbits. Three, so that in case there's any like sexual preference issues, they've got it.
All the way out there? Gord, it's in Hyde Park. Let's just calm down.
I thought it was in Pretoria.
No, dude. We filmed the show in a proper studio.
COVID distances are times five. So. Yeah.
Have you been out of the house? Are you venturing out a little bit more now?
I do if I need to. I'm avoiding like social occasions for the sake of it. I'm avoiding, hey, let's get 14 of our friends together and drink.
Oh, that's such a pity because I was going to say after we record the show next week, we were going to go out with 14 of my friends and you have a drink.
Yes. And drink. Most of them will probably be attractive and either taken or way out of my budget bracket. If I know going out with your friends, what was I even saying?
Driving out.
Driving out, yes. I mean, I go out if I have to, but I actually quite like it. I don't think my...
It's so easy to distract you, dude. You are the most easily distracted person in the whole world.
Hey, Gord, what's that? Fair enough. Yeah, squirrel. Anyway, I do go out if I need to, but I don't think I'm... I mean, I won't say never, but I think it'll be a very long time before I desire to go out and do things as often as what I used to. Certainly traffic is something you will now have to pay me a lot of money before I'll even consider.
Annette says she's new to the show and it's nice to see who I listen to. So this is obviously the first time Annette has seen us. Okay, well, you know what? Lucky you that you've managed to spend your life up to now not having to look at us. And we had quite a few people on this morning.
Yeah, action-packed show. It flew by.
Yeah, so thanks for trying out this new experiment with us today. If you manage to join in and watch the show live, if it works,
I liked it.
If it's
aside
popular,
from the fact that we can't hear the audio clips, I thought it was super cool.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. I promise you. We'll
I have made that note. Yes. We shall fix it.
Greg and mm-hmm. Spike and all of our people will be figuring this out during the course of the day, I'm sure. But if you took part in our little visual experiment this morning. And it worked out for you, and you think it's something you want to do again, then we may just do that. What the hell?
Yeah.
It's fun. It's all good.
And well, there's another show to watch tonight on ENCA, 8:30 p.m., so
no,
what now?
Let's not promote it because we've only got Donald Trump's niece on. I don't know if we should make a fuss of that.
I don't know. Yeah, it's nothing big.
Yeah, we got Mary Trump, who's written this book about how awful her uncle is, so... You know,
ooh, plot twist. She's anti-Trump.
Big time, Gord. She hates him.
Now we're talking. Now we're getting some Cherelle de Villiers level heat.
She really, really hates him.
Not some sycophantic wealthy niece whose job is to sing the praises of Super Uncle Donald.
No,
started with that.
She says he's sick. He's a very sick man. She talks about his ego being out of control. She did not hold back, and you can listen to and watch all of this evening live on ENCA, brand new episode of So What Now, and Mary Trump's only part of it because the rest of the show is also action packed. We've got Dr. David Klatzo, who's a forensic specialist and investigator. He's the guy who's looked into some of the most incredible cases in South Africa. He has helped us figure out what actually went on by reconstructing crime scenes. He can do investigations into all kinds of things. And for tonight's episode, I asked him, as well as an attorney called Bernard Hotz, who we've had on Cliff Central before. He's with Worksmans. He does all their investigations, digital investigations. So he's got this command center where they can take, you know, a phone that's been admitted as evidence, for example, in a criminal investigation, and he can unload all of that information. He can geolocate you. He's been doing work in state capture, among other things. Really interesting stuff. And then Dr. Eve, who you know well as the sexologist, we decided to get Dr. Eve in because she's just written a book about cyber infidelity, which is, I think, something that doesn't take a huge amount of imagination for you to figure out. These days, there are so many people on their phones more than they are talking to their partner. As a result, there's a whole new world of temptation that's opened up. So yeah, Dr. Klatso, Dr. Eve, and Bernard Hotz, as well as Mary Trump on So What Now tonight. Great show lined up.
I got a really because it's to do rich person things. He says, what would your wild rich person eccentric thing be? Like Mike Tyson's tigers and shit. I rate I'd have iguanas in Gucci sweaters that were walked through Saturn City twice daily by a nervous intern. The interns have to walk the iguanas again. Guys, it's three.
I don't think iguanas go very far, so...
No, they go slowly too. Yeah, they're quite bitey,
and they would take a long time to walk around.
Gucci sweaters knitted for the entire iguana.
Oh my God! All right, yeah, that's the kind of thing that I think you should do if you have billions. Just eccentric, fun things.
I still just want to be wealthy enough that I can have people do me a tub of yogurt made only of the yogurt that's on the lid of a yogurt tub when you get yogurt. Does that make any sense?
Oh, come on.
The yogurt that's on the lid is like special and miraculous. So I want them to open like 1,000 yogurt things and scrape the lid yogurt into one bowl of yogurt so that I can have a liter of lid yogurt at a time. I don't care what they do. Distribute the rest amongst the servants. But I want my tub of lid yogurt only. Or we could even start double lid spilling it and then put a lid on that and then later do double lidded yogurt.
Oh, that's beautiful.
This has been a fun morning.
Okay. Yeah. Neil says, I'm trying the live. I've been listening to you guys for the past 3 weeks. I looked at what Gord was up to these days and heard he was on the show. I love what you guys are doing. So there's some compliments for Gord. Gord, are there any upcoming trying harder episodes planned?
I do want to relaunch it, but when there's just more to talk about than COVID and Black Lives Matter, it was like a bad time, the start of a pandemic, to start an uplifting, let's be positive and have some fun podcast. So yeah, I will, but it just doesn't feel like there's anything to talk about. And a big part of it was live guests. We did my buddy Francois van Kogge. It was still fun, but it wasn't the same over video. So I was like, let me pause this before I do too much.
All right.
Thanks for asking.
Okay, guys, that's it. That's all we got time for. It's 8 o'clock. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early.
You guys are the best.
Thank you, Gordo.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah, and I hope this was fun. We'll try it again. If you like it, let us know. CliffCentral.com